Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. Episode 178. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. It's the latest episode. I'm not sure which number I'm at. I do know that it is the week of Memorial Day 2013. Thanks for downloading the show. Appreciate you coming along. If you're a new listener, thanks for checking out the podcast. Hopefully you'll enjoy what you hear and you'll come back. If you're a returning listener, thank you very much for your loyalty and for coming back and downloading another episode of the show. What are we doing this episode? The main thing, this is going to be an interview with my good friend Sandy that I ran the Blue Ridge Marathon with. We're gonna discuss that marathon, talk about some of our recollection of it. We ran that back on April 20th in Roanoke, Virginia. It's been a long time since the last show, and the reason for that is that I haven't been running. I've just been kind of taking a mental break, and that was on purpose. And I guess when I'm not running, I don't really have much to say about running, and that's what this podcast is about. So that's the reason for the delay. Since the last show, I directed the Ashland Railroad Run, and that was on April 27th. So I'll talk a little bit about that before I get into the interview with Sandy. But I guess first thing I want to talk about is just taking this mental break, this physical break I did from running. After I ran the marathon April 20th, of course I had the railroad run the week after that, which is I'll talk about that in a minute. But I ran May 1st, just did 4 miles, and then I ran May 25th and did five. And actually my thighs are a little sore today. The reason for the break was really just to let everything heal up and get everything back straight the way it's supposed to. I kind of injured myself during the Ashland Musical Variety Show. I actually think I pulled my bicep muscle. I worked backstage at that show. It's a biannual show that raises money for the Hanover Arts and Activity Center. It's a huge fundraiser. I've been involved with the show for, I guess, a couple times. It's every other year, and this year I worked backstage and had a little bit more involvement than I did in years past. And we had to move risers and between acts and this and that. And I slightly pulled my bicep muscle, my left arm, and it's been hurting ever since mid March. And I think that's really the only. Can really be the only explanation is that I probably pulled it. Even when I was running the Blue Ridge Marathon, I felt a kind of a twinge in my, right gluteus, whatever. Your butt cheek muscle. Mainly on hills. Now I did a lot of hill repeats when I was preparing for the Blue Ridge Marathon, and that definitely paid off. There is no doubt about that. In fact, I did almost all my training runs on the biggest hills I could find in the Ashland area. And there is an area, we call it the Bluntsbridge Challenge, and cyclists call it the Three Sisters or Two Sisters or whatever, because I think it kind of mimics some route in Scotland or France or something. I don't know. Of course, not on the same scale. But I would run all my as much training as I could on hills, and that's when I started feeling kind of a little bit of a twinge in that that muscle. And I was a little bit worried that the Blue Ridge Marathon would, kind of exacerbate that a little bit or bring that injury more to the surface. But it didn't, and it didn't get any worse. It still feels a little bit of a twinge, and it might just be one of these things that I feel from now on. I'm not sure. But I decided to let my body heal as much as possible since that marathon, as long as I could stand it, and that's what I did. I essentially did no running. I had a lot of my time to myself on Saturdays or with my family, and it was pretty significant when you have 5 to 7 hours back that you usually are doing out there on the road by yourself or with one or two other people or whatever your situation is. So, you know, I was able to do a lot of stuff. Now, I watched a lot of soccer. I taped a lot of soccer games. I watched those, being that that's my favorite sport. And then I also did some projects around the house that I kind of been putting off or never really felt like doing because you know, I hurt after, you know, I hurt too much after my long run or something, and I'll do that Sunday, or I'll do that one evening this week, and then you get back into that running routine, and you don't have that time. And I did not go crazy like I kind of thought I would. My wife said, because she asked me after, I guess, 2 weeks, she said, so when are you going to get back running again? I said, oh, I'm taking some time off, you know, I don't need to do it every day, and it felt good. It felt kind of powerful to keep putting it off, to keep saying, oh, I'll start back next week. Oh, I'll just get through this week and sit around and I'll start back next week. Well, here I am. I've started back. I ran 5 miles just 2 days ago, and today's actually Memorial Day. So I'll get back out there tomorrow after work and see what I can do. Now, the reason I got to get back out there is because, like a fool, I went and signed up for a summer race, the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K, which is August 2nd or 3rd, I can't remember which it is, I think it's that Saturday. That's 50K, which means I'll have to train, you know, right through June and July. There is a chance I am not going to be able to run the Patrick Henry Half Marathon this year, and it's because I'm on call for work. And that really sucks, because I've run that race every year, and I know Dr. Smitty will probably come up for that from the Chesapeake area. I'm going to work on getting somebody to switch with me, but it's very difficult to get people to switch on call, switch out the on-call schedule during the summer, because people make plans and they're going away, and it's just difficult to do. And it's never fallen on that before, but it's just something I'll have to deal with. And if for some reason my streak ends, so be it. It's really not that big of a deal. I mean, they give out the same medal every year. It doesn't really look that different, so it's not really that huge of a loss medal-wise, but I guess just because I kind of like the streak. I've run each one, and that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It looks like this would be the 8th year, and it's kind of neat to do something like that every year. So let me talk a little bit about the Ashland Railroad Run. Huge success again this year. The numbers were down just a little bit from last year and the year before. We had over 501 participants. This is a 10K, 5K, and a kids' mile. Perfect weather once again, fourth year in a row with perfect weather. This is my fourth year being heavily involved in the race, directing it. First in 2010. I helped redesign the course out of request of the race director at the time, whose name was Tammy. And then the year after that, I took over the race with a lady named Tamara. We co-race directed it. And I'm going to be retiring from that. The reason is that it's just too consuming for me with my lifestyle and the other things that I want to do. Believe it or not, I was able to direct that race, plan the race, and still train for a marathon, but you know, other things in my life suffer, and I believe in the railroad run. I'll be involved in it. I'll volunteer for it, you know, kind of on race day, but as for the planning and all the stuff that leads up to it, it's time to pass the torch. You know, 3 years directing the race is good, and this is not the Ashland Railroad Run. It was in its 35th year. That's how long this race has been going on in the town of Ashland. And it's never, it's not tradition in that race to have the same person do it all the time. It does get handed on, you know, you come in, you do your couple years, and then you hand it on to somebody else. And that's kind of the kind of tradition. It's traditional to have that happen. So I have no problem passing it on. Tamara's going to stay on for another year, and I'll definitely help. I'm just not going to. Frankly, what it is, it's really the emails. The emails drove me crazy. It was too many of them, too much to keep up with, and I couldn't even with checklists and, you know, reminders and all that. Oh, come on, all kinds of stuff. Now these people are slow. I'm on 64 right now, and you got people who aren't merging right, and I had to slam on the brakes, and now I got stuck between some cars. So, you know, sometimes it's just time to pass the torch, and I've always thought that it's good to go out when you're on top, and I would hate for that run to have foul weather next year and be involved in it with foul weather, or if there's a problem or some kind of issue. We've had three solid years. The first year was when we... The, 2010 was the last year without chip timing. 2011 we did chip timing. The last 3 years, 2011, 12, and 13, have just been outstanding and with no problems hardly at all. And I just feel like that's the time to pass it on is when you're on top. Now, I do that with some reservations because the feeling of putting on a race and having so many people have a good time is awesome. We had two new course records this year, the men's record and the women's record in the 10K. The growth of the sport and the growth of the 5K was almost double. And the 10K was a little bit down, the numbers, but we kind of made up for that in the 5K. And the reason for this is we were competing with 10 other events in the Richmond area that day. It was a marathon relay that was kind of a low-key event. There were a couple triathlons, and then the rest were 5Ks in the area. And so, you know, our 5K was competing. You know, people are going to run a 10K, they're going to commit to that. But our 5K was obviously competing with other 5Ks. And so you're going to lose some people. Even though Ashland is just a real enchanting small town feeling and all that, sometimes people will go for the races closer to the house, and that's I understand that. That's just the way it goes. So Ashland Railroad Run will be directed by somebody different next year, and I'll do my best not to be critical. Isn't that how that works? All right, so let's get into the interview with Sandy. We're going to talk about the Blue Ridge Marathon, which is supposed to be the hardest marathon on the eastern part of the country. All right, so we're here with Sandy, courtesy of Skype. We're doing an she's up in, but her house up in Michigan, and I'm here in the center of the universe. And Sandy, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
Good, good. And I think Eric's around.
He's out. Trying to get rid of the flood in the backyard. We just had a torrential downpour.
Hopefully everything will work out okay. Well, we're here to talk about the Blue Ridge Marathon, which Sandy and I ran back on April 20th in Roanoke, Virginia, in that area. The Blue Ridge Marathon is supposed to be the hardest marathon, I guess, in the eastern part of the country. Isn't that what they said, Sandy?
Yeah, the toughest road race in America, they call it.
Ah, that's right. And so that's what we're going to talk about for the next half hour or so. So what did you think? We've had some time to reflect on it, and we've been wanting to have this interview where we kind of just go back and forth. I guess I'm not really interviewing you. We're just going to kind of discuss the race, and that way if anybody's thinking about running that, maybe give them some insight on it, especially some of those climbs if they're looking for a challenge. This is called the Blue Ridge Marathon. It's I don't know what the date is for 2014 because I won't be registering for it, but I know it's going to be in April of next year in Roanoke, Virginia. So what did you think?
I think it lived up to its name. It was the hills were, they weren't hills, they were mountains.
Yeah.
There was three of them, and oh my gosh, were they hard. The one I was told went up to an 18% grade.
Oh, what is that? Is that you talking about Peakwood?
The first one.
No, the first one?
Roanoke Mountain?
I think Mill Mountain was the first one.
Mill Mountain, yep.
Yeah, one that I think the route immediately climbs out of the city. And if anybody who listens to the show is not familiar with Roanoke, Virginia, there are the city is literally in the valley of these mountains, and I guess the mountains are part of the city as well. It's kind of an unusual urban landscape. But the first one is Mill Mountain, and then I think before you really get to the top of that, it goes down and then climbs up Roanoke Mountain, and that was the one I remember that had that real nice, I guess it was a nice aid station at the top with that nice view where we just kind of stood there for a few minutes.
And then the downhill that I loved that you hated.
Oh, yeah.
2 miles straight down.
Yeah, that was a quad killer for sure. I don't know how you got way up ahead. And I remember at one point I just knew that I was going to be so sore. You remember when that one person just came flying past us? I can't remember which descent it was. And I just remember thinking that woman's legs are going to be killing her later. She just came out of nowhere.
I remember that. That was crazy.
Yeah, there was. I was talking to a friend of mine who ran. You might have heard me talk about him on the podcast. His nickname is Crash because he fell on a treadmill one time in front of a bunch of people.
Right.
He ran it either last year or the year before. When and he had no idea what I was talking about when I was talking about Peakwood.
You never forget Peakwood.
So I think Peakwood, which is the last climb, and the reason I think that was so hard is because it's, I think in my notes here, it was, came late in the race, like between miles 17 to 20. And it was kind of hard to believe that people actually lived up that route.
I don't know how they get their cars up there. That was so steep.
Yeah. Now, Michigan's pretty flat, right?
Right. Nothing like that. That was crazy.
Yeah, what did you do to train for the hills? I guess we never really talked about that. I mean, I'm not being critical when I say it looked like you struggled on the hills, going up the hills a little bit. Maybe it was just because your legs were shorter than mine. I was able to walk a little. Of course, we were walking up these hills, but I mean, on the downhills, you really rolled. So what did you do to train your body to handle that?
Well, I did a lot of treadmill hills, but I guess I wasn't ready for that. But I did just have a marathon the week before that, so I did have a little bit of soreness still.
Okay, that was the Martian Marathon?
Right, yep. One week before the race we did.
And then you did Martian Marathon, Blue Ridge, and then I think...
I had 100K in Ohio the weekend after Blue Ridge, so I didn't want to go too hard at Blue Ridge because I wanted to save some energy for that 100K.
Was that the 24-hour, overland?
Outrun. Yeah, it was near Cleveland, but I had only planned on doing 100K. That's all my training plan had called for. And then I had a marathon the following weekend in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, how'd that one go?
Oh, it was great. It was excellent. That one was probably the easiest, mentally, the easiest marathon I ever had. I felt like it just flew by. I have no idea why, but it was a great day.
Yeah, that one is within driving distance, easy driving distance for me, and I've heard of that one. So you enjoyed that? Did you meet up with anybody there?
Yeah, my running group. It's called Your Pace or Mine. It's a local group, and there was probably about 50 people that went to the race. It was outstanding. I swear, every corner I turned around, I knew someone.
Oh, that's pretty cool. How long did it take y'all to drive there?
I think it was about 6 hours, maybe.
Okay, y'all took the RV or you go in the car?
Oh, we drove the car that week, yep.
Yeah. Well, what other notes did you make on the Blue Ridge Marathon? I'm just kind of going through some of my the notes here that I did shortly after the race. That Peakwood, let's talk about that a little bit. Why was that so hard, that climb?
I think it was because it was so good in the game, and we had to be about 18 miles when that thing came on.
Yeah.
And every time we'd come up a little hill, we would think that was the Peakwood Hill or the Peakwood Mountain, and we'd ask someone, and they'd say, "No, this isn't even close to Peakwood." It would just be mind blowing.
Yeah, they kept kind of messing with us, saying, "Oh, well, you'll never forget that, and you'll know it when you get there." And remember we were joking, saying, "Well, this thing must really be hard because you know, everybody keeps making these jokes about it. Either that or it's nothing." And boy, were we wrong. Now that thing was I just can't believe that. A moving truck can move people up a hill that steep. I mean, how do you get a moving truck up that?
Right. Remember at one point I asked some lady who lived there, she was standing out on the side of the road cheering people on. I said, "How much further does this road go up?" And she says, "I'm sorry, I really can't tell you that." I don't know if she didn't want me just to look even more disappointed or what. It was funny.
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit of a funny, sick joke.
Boy, they had a party going at the top of that mountain, though.
Yeah, that's when you wanted to, I think you were hoping to get some Coke or some 7-Up or something, and they had all the liquor you could drink, but they didn't have any mixers. That was
cool. I know. We tried, though. But I got my Coke at the end of the race. I was happy.
Yeah, that was good once we finally got down. And it was kind of quiet there that last stretch. I don't think there were any runners around us, and it was just kind of sparse through a little bit of an industrial layer until it came to the finish line. It was kind of a weird finish till we got up to where all the people were.
Do you remember that sign we passed right before the finish? It said, "Look alive, funeral home ahead." That was awesome.
That's pretty good. Now, the this race says that it's the toughest road race in the country, and I know, I don't know if you had heard this, or maybe you might even know more about it than I do, but I thought the race directors of this race and of, I think it's Pike's Peak Marathon have like they'll pay these elite people to run their races and then give them criticism or feedback on which one they think is harder. Have you heard anything like that?
I've heard that too, but I think it's a race in Arizona, somewhere near Tucson up Mount Lemmon.
I'm not familiar.
We were in Tucson one time on a vacation and we saw there was a pretty high mountain there, and there was a lookout on the top, so I just said, hey, let's drive up it. It was almost nauseating just driving it. I can't even imagine running it.
Do you know what the ascent and descent for this marathon was? I should have looked that up before we...
I thought it said there was 7,500 feet of elevation change in our race.
Okay. I just remember the, you know, everybody was seemed to be walking up some of the mountains. I want to say hills because I'm so used to saying that, but these sure. These weren't hills. I mean, these were, you know, 2-3 miles up a mountain without any plateauing at all.
Yeah, they're selling race shirts at Blue Ridge now that say, you run hills, I run mountains.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I got my sticker in the mail the other day, finally. They had
apparently. Oh, I haven't gotten mine yet.
Oh, because he sent me an email and said that I didn't leave my full address. I thought it was a sticker that was going to say the toughest marathon in the country or something, but it doesn't say that. I was a little disappointed. I'm not even sure if I'll put it on my car now because it just says BRM 26.2 Blue Ridge Marathon. It's kind of
no one will know what that is. BRM.
Nobody's going to know what that is. Sounds like a bodily function.
Yeah.
I've got to keep it clean.
Keep your G rating.
That's right. I don't have the explicit rating on iTunes. What'd you think about some of the, I call them bandit water stops, kind of the locals getting out there with their lemonade stands, and I guess we didn't get poisoned or anything, but some kids out there. How about the grapes? Remember those?
Oh my God, that was the best. I would have loved to have taken that whole bag of grapes with me.
Yeah, and it was so cold, and
I don't know if they were frozen or just refrigerated, but they were so good.
Yeah, that just kind of hit the spot. Of course, we were climbing, going on. I think that was kind of before Peakwood. I can't really remember. But do you remember how slow everything went after mile 20? Mm-hmm. Everything just kind of slowed down. We did those little weird loops because I think they had to detour the course because of whatever flooding we didn't see.
Right.
And I just remember those miles went by so slow when we were going up and down the mountains. It just seemed, you know, we might have been talking more at the beginning too, because after mile 20, that's when I always have to kind of hit a little bit of a wall.
Right. Me too. Yeah, do you remember the police officer that was running with the guy that
sprained his ankle? That's right. I've never seen that before.
That was amazing.
Yeah, the uniformed officer that was running with a runner.
Right. It was like he was pacing him.
I have never seen that before. And did he say that he was actually running with another officer, I think, that was running? I can't remember what he said, but I'd never seen that before. I mean, this guy was in his regular... you know, class A uniform or whatever, his duty uniform. I mean, he was on duty working.
And he was just running along with this guy who was hobbling. And then there was the whole group of ladies and the one guy at the aid stations in the yellow shirts that cheered us on like they were there just for us because we had our Marathon Maniac shirts
on. Oh, right.
One for us every time we went by.
Yeah.
They were awesome too.
Yeah, that was a pretty good race. I wish that it was hard, but in hindsight, you know, we finished. I mean, of course, we didn't, you know, our finishing time was something like, I wrote that down, it's like 5:30.
Yeah.
But, you know, both of us went in there with the goal really just to have fun, and, you know, it really was. I don't really think that I could reuse that course and compare that to other marathons I've run and compare the finishing time because it's just a totally different route.
Yeah, I think if I didn't have a marathon the week before or after, I would have put more effort into it, but I just didn't want to kill myself with that 100K coming up.
Yeah, and I can't remember, but did you get through that? I think you did, didn't you?
100K, yeah, I did it.
Let's see, so you did, all right, Blue Ridge was what, your 25th marathon?
24th? No, Pittsburgh was my 25th, so that okay. Blue Ridge would have been my 23rd.
Oh, very cool.
Wasn't it your 25th?
24th, and the only reason I knew that is I just looked at my spreadsheet thing. I've signed up for a 50K August 3rd, which is probably nice. Probably a mistake because I ran out in the heat today and almost didn't just kind of bagged it because it just wasn't working out. But it's called the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K. It's up in a couple counties north of here in King George County. And it's a rails to trails type of situation, and I think
nice.
I think there's maybe one hill on it. But there's a guy that listens to the podcast, the guy that goes by the screen name the Lumberjack. and he's run that, and he pretty much does it every time. And so probably he's kind of a man of few words kind of thing. So I'll probably meet him up there, but he probably won't say too much.
Oops, sorry, dog's barking.
Well, that's all right. That's the way it goes. Yeah, so, you know, after the Boston Marathon was really just the...
Hold on 1 second, right. Dave. I'm going to close the blinds so she doesn't have anything to bark at. Sorry about that.
So I guess y'all watched the coverage of the Boston Marathon after the Blue Ridge, huh?
Yeah, that was terrible. But, boy, they had some good security at Blue Ridge. I was really impressed with that.
Oh, that's right. That was – I got my my dates mixed up. That was actually after that one. It was the week after.
Yeah, the week after. They had police from Maryland there.
You know, that was interesting because I don't know why, because Maryland's not even close to that part of Virginia.
I know. Wasn't that weird?
And, it didn't make any sense at all to me. And they were all up there, I guess, where the race course went into national park territory. I don't really know. Maybe they were, I don't know. I don't know what they were. I mean, there's all kinds of different police up there just in these rural areas where I guess somebody could have gotten up there. I don't know. I guess that's the new normal as far as races go. You know, when we had the National Railroad Run, which was on the 27th, there was, the local amateur radio club that, I guess these people that use shortwave or whatever the Civil Air Patrol group, they use the Ashland Railroad Run as their yearly training where they post around the course and they just call in stuff to each other and they're just more eyes out there on the course. And one of these guys left his bag on top of a phone transformer box and had an antenna sticking out and it got real suspicious. And then police came in. They had a couple investigators come in. Fortunately, they didn't close the event down. But I just got to thinking, you know what? Some people just need to think. And, but you know, that's just the world we're in now. And we could go on and I could do a whole podcast about that. What else do we need to talk about this race? I know if anybody out there that listens to the show is thinking about the Blue Ridge Marathon, I know personally, I would definitely recommend the race. I had, and I know you did too, Sandy, so much fun out there that day. It was just a gorgeous day in Roanoke, Virginia. I mean, it's a beautiful part of the state. Had you been down there before? I think you guys...
Yeah, we've been to Roanoke once before, but I don't remember it looking as beautiful as it was when we were there with all the trees blooming. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is a pretty part of Virginia. And I would recommend that race to anybody that's looking for, who's maybe not even interested in ultras, but is interested in just a tough marathon distance. And it definitely is. I mean, you can't compare that. I don't think you can compare that course to, say, your home marathon course that you've run repeatedly and you're trying to knock your time down. It's just a whole different, I think we were talking about this before the race, how it's a whole different category on its own.
Right, it's almost like an ultra, just because it's that much harder.
I agree.
It was worth the challenge, though. I'm so glad we did it. And it was fun hanging out the whole time talking with you.
Yeah, I think that's what made it go by really fast. But I still have a lot of good memories of it. I think didn't we run right through the middle of a soccer field or something at one point in time?
Yeah, that was weird. It's like, I think that was probably part of the rerouting we had. We ran along a rail trail and then came up by a soccer field and then... We had to go right by our hotel. That was the hard part.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, you know, when these race directors reroute a course, how do they get it recertified, or do they just not?
I think they had to recertify it because I think it was still a Boston qualifier, even though I wouldn't imagine it to anyone to qualify on that course.
Yeah, I get – and I think the guy who won it – what did he run it in, 3-something? I
can't remember. It was ridiculous. It was so fast for that course.
Now, you saw Green. What's the guy Green's first name? Kevin Green. I remember running into him. I hadn't, I've been meaning to send him an email. But y'all were, this is, if any of the listeners out there are not familiar with Kevin Green, he's got a website called Just Finish. I think it's justfinish.com. It's pretty cool. It's an online community. It's very encouraging. And he did the Blue Ridge Double, I think, what, third year in a row?
I think it was the third year, and that's amazing that they start out at like 2 or 2:30 in the morning, run the entire course, and then they come back to the start line for the official start and then run the course again.
Does he run it from the finish line to the start, or does he do it? Is it really just running the marathon twice?
I think it was running the marathon twice. I don't think they ran it like in the reverse order.
Yeah, that'd be kind of hard to figure out that route unless you had somebody in a car telling you exactly where to go.
Yeah, but I can't imagine running that twice. Once was enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, 52.4 miles. I mean, I've run I've run that far that length before, but certainly not on that kind of terrain. Pretty remarkable on his. But you got to see him the Saturday night, I understand, after the race.
Yeah, he texted us after the race, and we took him out for a beer, and I think he was about falling asleep in his beer.
Well, he'd been up since 2 in the morning.
Yeah, and then we all went back to the hotel and sat in the hot tub, and I think that kind of rejuvenated us.
Now, did you, that sounds like a good idea. Did you, remember the name of that restaurant we went out to eat at on Friday evening?
Forks in the Alley.
Forks in the Alley?
Yeah.
Yeah, if any listeners out there, that's a good place. We'd recommend that place, too. That had some good beer, and I think I had the pizza. What did y'all had the pizza, too, didn't you?
Yeah, we had the margarita pizza. It was excellent.
That's right. Yeah, I should have had, that after the race was over, I just think my wife and my dad were just kind of ready to get home. I guess they've been waiting around all day. It was kind of weird. I did my dry heaving in the car, and my dad kept wanting to know if he needed to pull over. I said, no, I just need some McDonald's, you know, my traditional hamburger and french fries after a marathon meal.
Yeah, I do that a lot too.
Pretty much the only time I go to McDonald's is after a long race like that. So what do you what do you think about it? Would you recommend the Blue Ridge Marathon as well?
I would, and you know, initially I'd said when we were running it I'd never do that again. But I say that, you know, at half the races I do, and you know, they put out a questionnaire after the race, and they said if you do the questionnaire they'll give you half off your entry for next year.
Oh, I think I did a survey. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's, kind of sneaky. Now it's like putting the seed in my brain.
I did remember seeing that, but I remember thinking I'm just not going to, I don't know, I guess never say never. It's funny. You know, it was hard, but, you know, we were able to get up those mountains, and the views were spectacular. Knowing, you know, you got up there on foot and you were going to have to get down on foot. That was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think, well, I wonder what I could do if I really tried.
Remember that poor girl we met that this was her first marathon? And, I mean, that's just crazy to pick this one for your first marathon.
Her perception of hard is going to be so skewed.
No doubt. So what do you have on tap for the future here? What do you got coming up?
A Kettle Moran 100 miler on Saturday.
Oh, this coming Saturday.
I know. And it's been raining nonstop there. So it's going to be a wet course. So I'm just mentally prepared for it now.
And so what's the time on that? Where is that? Is that in Michigan?
It's in Wisconsin. It's not too far from Madison. So it'll be about, I think, 7 hours from here.
So have you trained right up to your breaking point? Or have you been resting or what?
Today was my last run. So I'll have a couple days off before the race. And I just got a massage yesterday to loosen things up. So to get packed and ready to go.
So this will be your third starting line for a 100 miler, right?
Yeah, and my second finish with any luck.
Oh, well, hopefully you got all the luck in the world going with you. Are you going to, you said it's going to be muddy?
I'm expecting it to be muddy because it's been raining. Well, it's been raining here. I was just telling you we were flooded.
Yeah.
But it's been raining there for a good 3 days, and it's supposed to rain right up till the start of the race. So looking like about 75 degrees for the high. Uh-huh. So with the rain, that probably won't be too bad, though.
What time does it start on Saturday?
6 a.m., and you have 30 hours to finish it.
You know, I've been kind of in a vortex this last couple of weeks without doing any running. I knew that you were doing that one, but it kind of crept up. I guess not for you, though.
No, it's been just waiting there for me.
So y'all head out Friday night?
We're going to head out on Thursday morning.
Thursday.
And we'll stay somewhere near the campground Thursday night, and then get to the campground on Friday morning.
What's the is it a circuit route or out and backs? What's the course?
This is two out and backs. It starts at like the main ski lodge, and then you go out and back, and that would be 100K. and then you go out and back the remainder in the opposite direction. This one's going to be different, though. The last one I did, you started at 4 p.m. This one starts at 6 a.m.
Wow.
So the night portion of this one, I'll be tired, but you can't pick up your pacer until the 100K mark or 6:30 p.m., whichever comes first.
Huh. Do you have one lined up?
Yeah, luckily my friend David, who lives near Milwaukee, offered to pace me. So he's going to come out and take care of that. He's going to do the full 38 miles.
Is he the one that did it before?
No, that's another Dave that I know. Okay. I know three Daves. So I have Ashlyn, Dave, David, and Dave. So I have to be very specific when I'm telling my husband who I'm talking to.
Well, considering that you survive that, what do you have on the schedule after that?
After that, I have a little trail half marathon in July, and then the big one for the year will be the five marathons in five states.
That's right.
In 5 days.
September. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Center of the Nation series.
That's right. I remember you were telling me about that. That's is it late September? I think I remember looking that up.
Yeah, I think it's around the 16th or something. So Monday through Friday.
Center of the Nation series, and that's five regular distance marathons, one after the other, and it's a group of people that do that, right?
Yeah, they have over 100 people registered between the halves and the fulls now. It's really taken off because you can do five half marathons or five full marathons, or just, you know, do one or two. You don't even have to do them all, but it's mainly marathons.com is the website.
Okay, and what's the, if you don't mind me asking, what do they charge for that?
I think it was $80 per race, and there was a $10 per race discount for Marathon Maniacs or 50 Staters, half Fanatics. But they had a nice deal that if you can get someone to volunteer for any day of your race, you could get, I don't remember if it was half off or a free entry for that day.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it was a pretty sweet deal. My husband's just going to be volunteering for me, though. He's not actually going to work for the race. He's just going to drive around and take care of me. I'm lucky.
Now, I think I probably asked you about this, but I've kind of forgotten. How do you train up for that?
I haven't really decided that yet. I think what I'm going to try and do is build up to 20 miles a day for 5 days in a row.
Okay.
And then I figure I'll just let that extra 6 miles kind of be the icing on the cake. You know, if you're training for a marathon, you're not going to do the full 26.2.
Right.
So I think I'll try to build up to 20 miles per day for 5 days in a row. I haven't quite decided how I'm going to do that yet. I just kind of want to get the 100 miler under my belt and then start focusing on that.
Yeah. I guess you don't want to look too far into the future. You worry about that after you get through that 100 mile. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, one event at a time.
That's right. Well, you got any last parting words before we wrap it up here? I guess we could probably talk for a good while about running, but I don't want to lose any listeners.
Well, I just want to thank you and your family for coming out and meeting us and for you for running the race with me. What an awesome experience that was, and I'm so glad we did that together.
Yeah, you're welcome, and same back at you. I really enjoyed hanging out and meeting Eric, and just I think we had some really good conversation when we went out to eat the night before. And gosh, I mean, like I was saying, the first 20 miles of that marathon went by so fast because we were just talking and carrying on. And I think just because after 20, that was back down in the city. And yeah, frankly, the scenery wasn't as good as when you're up in the mountains. That's probably why I went by a little slower. But no, it was really fun to meet up down there in Virginia. And I'm sure we'll cross paths again at some future race. I mean, I don't plan to give up. I just got to get back in shape a little bit, but I don't plan on giving up marathoning really anytime soon. It's a great way to spend time.
The coolest thing, though, was when I was first listening to you talk, it seemed so weird not hearing you through my headphones.
Well, I remember when I saw y'all in the hotel, I thought, is that Sandy? And then Eric said, wait a minute, I recognize his voice.
I know. He knew you from when we Skyped last time.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. All right, well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. And I'd like to thank you, Sandy, for your time with talking about the race. And hopefully all the listeners out there who have any interest in checking out the Blue Ridge Marathon in Roanoke, maybe get some insight from some of the stuff we talked about. I know we kind of talked about things in general terms, but the support of locally, the local support of that race was clear. And to me, that's always a good sign of a good race director is when they have the local the support of the local people. Clearly, he's known in the area.
Well, thanks for calling on the Skype, Dave. It was awesome talking to you.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Take care.
And many thanks to Sandy for taking the time to sit down with me and talk over Skype and talk about the Blue Ridge Marathon. Let's get into the email bag section of the show and see who checked in this time. Many apologies to Ryan. I've definitely he sent me an email back on May 8th, and I'm just now really looking at it and reading it. And Ryan, I'm sorry about that. I just if you listen to the introduction to the to this show, I kind of took a little bit of a hiatus and took a break, and in some ways I actually took a break from email because directing a race with email, there's just decision making by email. It can get pretty hectic with different people chiming in, and I guess the only alternative is to have more race committee meetings. But sometimes it's hard to get everybody together, but people do, you know, can check in by email. So sorry about the delay here, but I did want to mention in Ryan's email that he sent me a link to a short podcast about that's essentially for race directors. It's about 12 minutes long. It's at mojoforrunning.squarespace.com/podcast, MFR45 comments for race directors. And I'm going to link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you're interested in learning more about race directing. This is just a short 11 to 12 minute audio of different things to think about if you're going to direct a race. It's a good, as Ryan says, it's a good comprehensive description of what to think about when you do race directing. And in Ryan's email, he thought it was pretty funny that people got mad about not knowing there were two loops. You know, most people who do races, you know, you try to make a point to know the course beforehand. He also did Ryan lives up in Canada, and he did the Police Half Marathon in Calgary. He said there were about 1,200 finishers. This would have been the last weekend in April. He said it was a good size, not too big. It was a pretty tough course. Pretty much first 5 kilometers was all downhill, and then the last 5 kilometers was then being uphill. He said he had a great day. Mid-40s, which feels warm for Canadians, he says, and there was they ran around the Glenmore Reservoir, which he says was very scenic. He said it was pretty cool shirts, long-sleeve tech shirt, Calgary skyline on the front, mountain lion on the back, the Calgary police logo on the front, the runner patted her down the sleeves, and that's pretty cool. He sent me a couple pictures. I thought those were really cool, Ryan, and Ryan's going to try to do a bike event or two this summer. He said there's a couple opportunities to do 150K Grand Fondo, which he says is more of a casual tour than a race, and he's kind of new to biking. So he's throwing it out there for anybody who's got any runners who have thoughts on how to train for something that's 150K in duration on the bike. He would certainly appreciate that, and you can send me those emails at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I'll forward those to him. And appreciate you being a loyal listener, Ryan, as always. And it's good to hear from you, and I'll try not to neglect you so much the next time. Also heard from Kevin, and he's also a Canadian, but he lives in Japan. He runs and lives there. He started listening to the podcast after hearing me interviewed over on Dirt Dog's show, and he's now a subscriber to this one. He's been going through the back episodes and likes the BS approach that I take to the podcast, and I really appreciate that, Kevin. He does a video podcast about running called Running in Japan. He does it with a friend of his who lives in Japan. I think he's a British runner and also an elite masters marathoner. They give kind of a dual perspective of the elite and the fun runner. And I'm also going to link to that. The link he gave me is too hard to explain verbally, so I'm going to link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com on this show, which is show 177. So make sure you check that out if you're interested. It's essentially just two guys talking and you know, with their webcams, talking about running, and they do talk about the comment on the Boston Marathon quite a bit during the length of it. So it's kind of one of those things you might just turn on and listen to while you're doing something else because there's no running scenes or anything, but the content's pretty good. They try to do it every Monday night at 10 Japanese time, but right now they're on a little break, and he just had a baby. His wife had a baby this month. So they haven't been able to get a new one out, but they're going to resume again in June. So, Kevin, I appreciate you chiming in. It's good to hear from people all over the world. I mean, that's I think you're the first person I've heard from in Japan, so that's really cool. I can And I guess, I don't know if Japan's its own continent. I don't know what continent that's considered to be part of. I guess, Asia, I guess. I'm kind of ignorant to geography. But it is really good to hear from you. And gosh, I just add you to the list of folks that I've communicated with all over the world. It really makes the podcast cool. Also heard from Neil Richard. He's going to be running the Dahlgren Heritage Trail 50K as well. He's done it for the last 3 years. He's out on that trail about once a week, and he's offered to offer any information he can about that race if anybody's interested. And I've already gotten some information from him. So Neil's nice to listen to you. And if you go to his website called The Lumberjack, he's got kind of these 10, 11-minute podcasts that he puts out that are very unique. And if you're just looking for something, a couple different podcasts to listen to while you're working out, Neil's always got something to say. There's no doubt about that. And got an old email from Sandy. This was back in late April. She got the DVDs. And I'll mention these DVDs again. These are DVDs of their amateur documentaries of races that I've done, ultras. And I got to say, they're actually pretty decent to kind of get the feel of the race and the experience. And I make the DVDs really just for something to kind of reflect on later. Most of them are about 30 minutes long, so it's something you can pop in your DVD player and or even in your computer and sit and look at it. And the reason I do them is offer those for free, and then I just send out some information if you're interested in making a donation to a local charity that I support here in the Ashland area called ACES, Ashland Christian Emergency Services. And to date, I think I've raised close to over $500 for the charity, and that's not bad for and they've gotten checks. I usually get a little email when somebody sends them a check, and they've gotten money from all over the country, and they got one from down under, and that's really cool. That makes me feel really good. And so Sandy, I appreciate y'all making that donation. It's on the honor system, so if you're interested in these DVDs, go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and scroll down to an earlier show. And what I'll do is I'll go on there now and see if I can tell you. If you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and you scroll down, go down to episode 171, which is on the homepage, you'll see the names of the races that I have DVDs available for. And all you do is contact me at ashlanddave@gmail.com if you're interested, and I will give you the details. Again, they're free. I send them to you at my cost. And I just include some information in there if you're interested in making the donation. I don't go back and do any kind of auditing or anything like that. It's completely on the honor system. And it's really just my way of spreading the joy of ultra running, distance running, and then in the process trying to raise some money for a local charity. And that's on your honor system. I don't, check on that or anything. Also, I'm going to include two other links that I've included before. These are links to other fundraising that friends of mine are doing. One is for Steve Buani, who is running a half marathon next month. He's raising money for ulcerative colitis to find a cure. And also, I'm also linking to David Williams is doing all down under. And then, of course, Chris Trawick out of Georgia is doing a House of Heroes run, and I'll include a link to that as well. And he's actually already done that race, but he's going to continue to be raising money where they run 260 miles across the state of Georgia. So I'm a little late chiming in with this link, but nevertheless, I do want to include that. And you can check out all those links at ashlanddave.podbean.com. It's actually episode 178. I think I said episode 177 earlier, but it's all at ashlanddave.podbean.com if you want to check that out. So that's it this week. If you want to reach me, just send an email to ashlanddave@gmail.com. I am continuing to put out the podcast. My goal is to get one out every 2 weeks, and sometimes I do slip on that, and I realize it when those 2 weeks come and go, and I haven't put another one out. And like I was telling Sandy when we were kind of talking after the interview was over just a little while ago, sometimes I got to be in the right mood to sit down and do the podcast where I feel like I can have the thoughts flow through my head. Some days, if you're like me, your biorhythms are kind of down and you just don't quite feel up to trying to put out something of halfway decent quality that people will download, listen to without fast-forwarding to another show. So the show was a little long this week, but I think it was worth it. And I'd like to thank you for coming along if you stuck around this long. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a good week.